Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and I can't believe it's finally here, Election Day 2020. The polls opened across Illinois at 6 this morning. They'll be open until 7 tonight. There are many storylines to follow, both in federal elections and here in Illinois. Shortly, we'll hear the latest updates and can help answer any last-minute voting questions you might have. And we'll take your phone calls about your Election 2020 experience, any thoughts or observations you want to share. Our lines are open now, 800-222-9455. The number again is 800-222-9455. And later on in the program, we're going to have a conversation on framing, how we think about things in both a political and personal context. But first, again, we want to hear from you. Let's begin with listener John in Elgin, who sent us a voice memo early this morning.
Good morning, Brian. It is 4:30 a.m. I voted by mail, and my election day plan is to work as an election judge, since I heard they were short-staffed. I am bummed I'll be missing today's show, though. Anyway, this is a ton of work. I'm not even sure they let us go to the bathroom, so voters, be nice to everyone. Make sure your mask is over your nose, and please don't cough on your poll worker, because they are either very old, or possibly they are me.
Good advice. Do not cough on your poll workers, especially if it's listener John in Elgin. But we also want to hear from you. Our lines are now open for your calls, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. This is your turn to make your voice heard. Share your thoughts on the 2020 election. What are your election day plans? How was your voting experience? And we can also help answer any last-minute questions you might have about voting. 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. Joining us now are Matt Dietrich, who's spokesman for the Illinois State Board of Elections. Hello, Matt. Welcome back to the 21st.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming back. We always get a lot of questions when you're on, so this is a good opportunity if listeners, you have any last-minute voting questions. We're also joined by Chris Mooney, the W. Russell Arrington Professor of State Politics at the University of Illinois Chicago. He's a longtime observer of Illinois government and politics. Chris, welcome back. Glad to have you with us as well.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
So, Matt, let's begin with you. If someone does not yet have a voting plan, what options do they have today? I mean, let's say they got a mail-in ballot but misplaced it or haven't dropped it off. Can people still vote in person today?
Well, absolutely. Polls are open until 7 p.m. And if you requested a vote by mail ballot and it hasn't arrived yet as of today, go into your precinct polling place and tell them that you applied for a vote by mail ballot. It hasn't arrived. They'll give you an affidavit that you can sign, and then that will allow you to vote in person. That's a very common thing that happens, especially on election day, with people who applied late for their vote by mail ballots. You could apply through last Thursday, but that often doesn't give enough time for the election authority to mail that ballot to you and for it to reach you. If you have a vote by mail ballot and you decide you'd rather just go vote in person, take the ballot with you, surrender it at your polling place, and you'll be able to vote in person just like normal. And of course, you can go vote in person just like we've been doing since centuries now. Every polling place is following Illinois Department of Public Health guidelines for COVID safety. So if you go vote in person, you are not placing yourself in any danger. It's a very controlled environment. Election workers are going to all be wearing masks. A lot of them will have gloves. You may see plexiglass separating you from the election judge this time. They'll be sanitizing anything that voters touch, from the pens through the touch screens, if you have touch screen equipment in your polling place, right down to the actual voting booth where you take your paper ballot and fill it out. So don't be intimidated and don't let the pandemic keep you away from voting. You still have plenty of time today.
Yeah, and if someone's not even registered, Illinois is one of those states where you can register on election day, right?
Correct. In some jurisdictions, you can do it at the actual precinct polling places. In other jurisdictions, in some of the smaller counties especially, you'll need to go to the county clerk's office. But you can just contact your local election authority, find out where it's being done. Take two pieces of ID. One of them has to show your residence that you're registering to vote at. Typically, someone will use a piece of mail like a utility bill or credit card bill, bank statement, or lease as one piece. And then, you know, driver's license is the most common other piece of ID, but can be, you know, it doesn't have to be picture ID. But take those with you. Even if you go and you don't have all the required ID, if you don't have both pieces, you can still go and vote provisionally, and you'll have a week to get that other required piece of ID to your election authority and then have your registration completed and your provisional vote, your provisional ballot counted.
Yeah. Okay. So that is if you need to vote today, still plenty of opportunity for that. So let's talk about what people are actually voting on. Chris Mooney, I want to ask you, what are the big storylines you're looking at in Illinois? I mean, it seems pretty obvious based on polling. It would have to be a huge polling error for Joe Biden to not win the presidency here. There's no campaign for governor this year. So what are the big things you're watching out of Illinois, Chris?
Well, Brian, I think there's four things that I'm particularly interested in. Number one is the most important thing, the only statewide voting issue that really is in question, and that's the fair tax amendment. This is a constitutional amendment. It's been placed in front of the voters by the General Assembly to ask the question, shall we allow people that make more money to be taxed at different rates than people that make less money. And that's going to have huge implications for the budget going forward. It's been a massive battle of the billionaires on this thing, sort of $100 million spent on an initiative campaign in a state where we don't do this stuff very often. So it's pretty confusing to a lot of people. So that's a big thing. Another one is a Supreme Court race retention race in sort of northwest part of the state. Justice Kilbride is up for retention and has garnered he's a Democrat. He's garnered a lot of opposition from Republicans who look to knock him off and then replace him with a Republican in the next election. Third, there's a few congressional seats House seats that may go one way or the other that will be important in determining who controls the House in the next 2 years. Down your way, Brian, the 13th district between Londrigan and Rodney Davis is one of them. But then up here in Chicago, in the Chicagoland area, in the suburbs, you've got Kasten and Underwood who picked off Republicans in 2018 and now are being challenged there. And actually, there's another one in the northwest part of the state, too, that looks like it's getting slightly tighter. And then the fourth one is the one that we really think about in legislative or in Illinois politics, really, and that's the sort of legislative races. How many seats are the Democrats going to gain or lose over there, the supermajority in the House and in the Senate? The Senate's not looking like it's going to change much. If at all, and the House, even though the Speaker is once again under a heavy deluge of negative advertising, let's say, from Republicans, and as well as this the current scandal that's kind of floating around down there, he may actually pick up seats in the House.
Yeah, that's remarkable. I mean, and that is something where I think, you know, nationally we've seen Democrats trying to nationalize the election. They, even if you're running for, the proverbial dog catcher, which of course we don't elect in Illinois, the Democrats are saying, but what about Trump? Look how people don't like Trump. And that's what they're using to try and turn things out. And Republicans are doing that with Speaker Madigan. No matter what office mm-hmm. you're running for, if they can find any connection mm-hmm. with Speaker Madigan, they try and they try and bring you in. I want to remind listeners, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Chris Mooney, who's a political science professor at the University of Illinois Chicago, and Matt Dietrich, spokesman for the Illinois State Board of Elections. Listeners, we want to invite you into our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Wondering what your polling place looked like today, what your experience has been of voting. If you have any questions about voting or any of the issues, now is your chance. I want to go to the call to the phones now on line four. We have Greg in Woodstock. Greg, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
So
my issue is when you go into the polls, all of these ballots are in legalese, and you have to decipher a lot of things, like the tax amendment. When I first saw that, I thought, well, it's called the Fair Tax Law, not the tax amendment, and it was very confusing. I wish they wouldn't put these things in legalese. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for the call. Chris, I guess we can ask you about that. We did. I should remind listeners, if you want to go back into our archives at 21stshow.org back on September 28th, you can listen to an FAQ we did with a couple of experts from the Institute of Government and Public Affairs, which, Chris, I think you used to lead that institute. But it's a think tank based out of the U of I, and we had a couple of their sort of state budget experts sort of break that down for us. So if any listeners haven't voted, they're still confused about that, you can get some good factual nonpartisan information there. But Chris, what do you think? Legalese in the ballot amendment, could that have been done any differently?
In fact, the initiative itself, the actual number one, and you know, these are this what we're voting on here is law, right? So it's going to be embedded in the Constitution. So it has to be very precise, and it has to be, you know, in legalese, because it's legal language, right? We're not used to voting on these things. And I feel this guy's pain from Woodstock, because, you know, we're just used to voting on candidates. That's easy, right? Democrat, Republican, you know, even in the primary, it's a lot easier than trying to figure out public policy and trying to sort it out. But this particular initiative is relatively straightforward in terms of what it does. And the Secretary of State sent around a voter information guide a couple of months ago that sort of laid out the arguments for and against it. So and you can find that on the Secretary of State's website. So I would check that out. But, you know, I tell you, this fellow ought to be happy that he's not living in California, where you might have 20 of these things on the ballot in a given election.
Yeah, Illinois not big on direct democracy here, but occasionally you do get these questions. Matt, I want to ask you, Matt Dietrich, we got a question about documentation people need to bring to vote. Peter said he noticed that in Ford County, the website, and this was, I think, a week ago, said voters must provide registration card or state ID to vote. It was in bold font at the top of the information page. Peter says he emailed them and it was quickly corrected to say you may be asked for ID. Peter's wondering, how do we know they're going to follow the law if this is what they had on their website? And so, Matt, maybe you can just clarify, what is Illinois law around voter IDs?
Yeah, you don't have to show ID, and they are prohibited from demanding that you show ID as a condition to voting. Your signature is what is used as your ID. You sign for when you request your ballot, you sign, the election judges compare your signature to the image that they have that is on file with the election authority. And if there's any question about whether it matches, only at that point, if the election judges concur and agree that there may be a problem with your signature, might you be asked for ID. The other situation might be that, and this is very rare, if someone registered to vote by mailing in their a mail-in form to register, and they didn't provide all of the required ID, then there may be an indication in the poll book that they need to provide a second piece of ID to complete their registration at that time. So, but it's very rare, and in Illinois, your signature is your ID. And yeah, Ford County was right to take that down off their website if they had that up there. And any voter who is asked for ID should challenge the judge and let them know that in Illinois, you don't have to provide ID. We are not a voter ID state. Your signature is your identification. Now, having said that, I do want to bring up one thing. At some polling places, election judges and local election authorities may use a driver's license scanner to speed up the voting process. That is totally optional. Sometimes they offer that so that you can give them your driver's license, they scan it, and then by the time you get to the election judge, they have pre-filled all of your information. They can quickly get your ballot ready for you. That's just to keep the lines moving, but it's strictly voluntary. We got a call from a voter about that down in Madison County last week. So okay. That's one thing to keep aware. If you see that, if they're offering to scan your driver's license, that's just to keep the lines moving. You don't have to do that, and they're not checking your ID.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation after we take a break. You're listening to The 21st. We do want to hear from you, 800-222-9455. More to come. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about Election Day 2020 with Matt Dietrich, spokesman at the Illinois State Board of Elections, and Chris Mooney, who's a professor of political science at the University of Illinois, Chicago, and a longtime state government and politics observer. We want to hear from you. This is your opportunity to make your voice heard on this Election Day. Outside the ballot, of course. Our lines are open at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We want to know what your plans are for Election Day. Call now, and we can also help answer any last-minute voting questions you might have. The number again, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Chris, we see these stories out of other places in America where people are waiting hours to vote, lined up around the block. Our producer, Anna, says her parents early voted in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and there was just one polling place for that entire city of 500,000 people. Chris, how does Illinois compare to other states when it comes to making it easier or harder to vote?
Well, Illinois has all the options for ease of vote in terms of early access. You can mail in vote. You can do early voting. There's voting centers. So we're fixed up pretty well that way. Also, we haven't seen in Illinois what we've seen in a number of states. Oklahoma, Wisconsin is an example of the place. Well, Florida, Georgia, where they're closing down polling sites. In Iowa. I was just hearing on your air this morning about Iowa closing. You know, sort of in an effort to, I don't know why, one might say they're trying, you know, one of these voter suppression sort of approaches. But they seem to be making it more difficult to allow people to vote. We all saw those lines up in Wisconsin in their primary on April 5th. I mean, they had five voting places in the city of Milwaukee, you know, and now that was in large part due to COVID. But mismanagement, I suppose, because presumably one could have solved that problem if you knew what we were doing. But Illinois, we haven't seen that sort of thing. Now, this thing was mentioned in Ford County. That's concerning to me. That's a county official going beyond what's legal, because who knows why, his or her own particular point of view on the thing or something, or just ignorance of the law.
Yeah, and I should clarify that. I mean, that's an email we got from a listener. We did not independently.
Yeah, may or may not be
that.
True. Okay,
yeah,
sure.
Right.
But that's the sort of thing that I think people need to keep an eye out for. You see, and again, if they're starting to ask you for your ID at the poll, just as Matt was saying, I mean, don't put up with that malarkey. Know that you are if you are an American citizen, you're registered to vote. You have a right to vote, and you shouldn't be intimidated by somebody who's just because they're an election judge or something like that. Stand your ground, as they say.
Stand your ground. All right, let's go back to the phones. Randy in Peoria on line 4. Welcome to the 21st.
Yeah. I have a question. I've heard, I voted early. I'm very, very grateful here in Peoria County. The election board was efficient and took our ballots and so on. And I'm very happy with them so far anyway. But my question is, everyone says if there's a decisive victory, that would be very, very good. But I haven't heard the criteria for that. How do we know if that criteria has been met one way or the other? If it's decisive, that everybody says, well, okay, that was decisive, let's move on. What is that criteria?
That's a good question, Randy. Thank you for that. And, this kind of dovetails with one of the texts we got. We asked our texting group, Text the 21st, what their voting plans and concerns were. Denise in Maroa says, I voted early 3 weeks ago. I wanted my ballot counted on election night. I fear we will continue to hear about this election for a long time to come. So, Matt, we keep hearing about states where early vote totals could be deceptive because this year, early voting and voting by mail has been, at least in some places, more popular among Democrats. So early return from Election Day polling places in person might trend Republican, but then shift towards the Democrats as the early and mail-in ballots are counted. And in some states, that could take days. So, Matt, can you remind us, what are the rules? What can we expect with regard to vote totals and getting a more definitive result here in Illinois?
Yeah, we just actually updated our pre-election ballot report, and this is the final one that we'll do that will include, or at least up through yesterday. And we've got over 3.7 million early votes by combined in-person and by mail were already cast. However, voters need to keep in mind tonight, we've still got about 500,000 vote-by-mail ballots that are still out there in the hands of voters and could come in and be counted through November 17th. Illinois allows voters, as long as they have their ballot postmarked no later than Election Day, it can arrive at the election authority through November 17th, 2 weeks after the election, and still be counted. So any numbers that you see tonight, those unofficial numbers that you'll see reported in the media, you need to mentally add up to 500,000 votes to that, because that's how many outstanding vote by mail ballots are still out there and may trickle in in the days after the election.
And Chris, what do you think about that? I mean, there is no official referee who sort of says, okay, you've won, you've lost, game's over, everybody go home, right? These things can drag on if the contestants.
There is an official referee, Brian, and this is the thing that this caller is demonstrating a sort of general confusion about this that is apparently held all the way up to the top of the ticket. The president seems to be confused about this. The media does not count the votes, right? ABC. AP or whoever does not decide who the president. The votes decide who the president is going to be, and every other office. And there are official legal processes that have been carried out and regularly for hundreds and hundreds of elections that we carry out over the course of the last several years, or for the last 250 years as an American, as a country under this Constitution. And it takes time to do that sometimes. This idea that the caller was suggesting about there needs to be an overwhelming vote, that I think what he's referring to there is that there's a concern that I've heard voiced by Democrats that because Trump has sort of falsely and continuously talked about the and downgraded our electoral system some to bring call into question with absolutely no evidence whatsoever. That there's somehow some nefarious thing. This allows him to have an excuse if he loses. You can say, well, it was stolen from me. Just like he said they put all those fraudulent votes in, and that's why he didn't win the popular vote in 2016. Again, no proof. He had a commission study. Nothing came up. It's absolutely false. So what I think the Democrats are concerned with is that if it's a close race, then he's going to pull some hanky panky, and he's going to, there was some reports yesterday. I think have been disconfirmed now. By Trump himself, it said he would announce that he had won the presidency, and then it would end up in the courts. And it's gonna, it's probably a lot of this is gonna end up in the courts, I'm sure. But if it would be overwhelming, if Trump, like for example, we're gonna know tonight probably who wins Texas, who wins Florida, who wins North Carolina. If Trump loses any of those, he's going to lose the election. And because, that's just a trend of the thing, and it's almost impossible for him to get it. So, if that happens, we'll know, and everybody can calm down. I'm sure not everybody's going to be happy about it, obviously. 40% of the country won't be happy because they'll be voted for Trump. But at least people will not be, it'll be harder for the loser in that case to say, oh, they stole it from me. And I think that's the concern.
Yeah. Okay. And I guess the question then is how should listeners sort of brace themselves for consuming election news? We got a text from Jan in Savoy who said voted weeks ago, hoping to go social media dark until Thursday. Chris, does that sound like good advice? Just kind of take a breath. Maybe don't put much stock in whatever early returns we get as the votes trickle in, or how are you personally planning to consume the news in the next day or two?
With a large glass of scotch, probably, but actually, just kidding about that. But it's always the case that these things come in slowly. So, if it's a big, I think we can call Dick Durbin's win, about 2 minutes after the polls close because it's going to be overwhelming. But if it's, if it's close, if it's a controversial election, it's going to take some time. They're going to have to, count these things up. And so, people ought to realize that, again, starting at the top of the, federal government, they got to realize that we absolutely will not know officially who wins tonight because that has to be certified as a process. It takes weeks, and really over the course of the next month, this will be happening. But even informally, which is normally, they kind of, AP calls Texas for George Bush or whatever. That's all informal, and even that we may get less of that tonight because of all these late counting and whatnot.
Yeah, the media definitely. I consume a lot of podcasts and have heard a lot of interviews with sort of CBS election director kind of people who say they are all taking a much more cautious approach, mm-hmm. Given all the uncertainty over these early votes this year. We're going to wrap this conversation. Matt, any final words for voters out there?
I would just echo what Chris just said. Keep in mind that any totals that you see tonight are unofficial. We still will have potentially up to 500,000 votes that could come in over the next 2 weeks and could change legislative race leads. You may see them going up and down. Probably won't be able to call that income tax amendment tonight because there's a two-tier formula that could pass one of two ways. Whether or not we know the fate of that until all the ballots are tallied, I'm just not sure. But I agree. You can put some stock in what we see tonight. The unofficial numbers are usually fairly reliable, but keep in mind, got 2 weeks for a lot of votes to come in Illinois.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will say, while we will all take it with a grain of salt and perhaps a glass of our favorite beverage, we will be, sort of reporting the votes out tonight on this public radio station. So I do encourage listeners to tune in beginning at 6 o'clock. We'll be doing statewide updates throughout the evening on this and other public radio stations across Illinois. Matt Dietrich of the State Board of Elections and Chris Mooney, the W. Russell Arrington Professor Professor of State Politics at the University of Illinois Chicago. Thanks for being here. Great to talk to you both.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, thanks a lot.